Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 28th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This weekend we are celebrating Trinity Sunday, and you might have noticed that we had the book, the reading from the book of Genesis, God the Creator. Thank you, John. And then we had a reading from 2 Corinthians as Paul is encouraging the community to be grounded in the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus gives us this command and then a promise. We'll come back to that promise. But yesterday, when it was 91 degrees at 3:30, we were outside in the chapel area, and Hannah and Kabir gave their promises to one another. Will you love him? Will you comfort her in sickness and in health, in good times and in struggles? And do you know what they said? They said, "We will." Isn't that amazing? In fact, Kabir even said, "I will." He was so excited to get married. He was so excited. Isn't that amazing? Because those of you who are married know you never know what the future years are going to bring, right? Good times and challenges, laughter and tears. But they said, "We will," because they were crazy in love anyway. At the heart of any nurturing relationship is a promise, is a commitment that you have somebody else's back. So think for a moment about someone that you know well. Maybe it is your spouse, maybe it's a good friend, maybe it's a neighbor, somebody that you have taken time over the years to make memories with. You've had conversations, serious and silly. You've hoped together and dreamed together. And as you build that relationship, the trust comes slowly, doesn't it? Kind of like building maybe a cement wall. You trust a little bit, you put a brick down, you cement it in, it's firm. You spend more time together in that relationship, and that trust builds, again, like putting another brick up. I suspect for the disciples, they had time over those 3 years of Jesus' ministry to do trust Jesus. They had lots of time to walk and talk on the roads to the villages. They watched him teach, they watched him heal, they watched him perform miracles. But that last week of Jesus' life must have been a complete roller coaster for them as they watched him die and then resurrected. And now he says, "And I'm going to leave you again." But the last words that Jesus says, as recorded in Matthew's gospel, are, "Remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Remember, I am with you." That kind of sounds like a promise to me, doesn't it? Sounds like a vow. Sounds like a commitment. "I am with you always." And the disciples needed that promise because, boy, it came on the heels of a big command. Did you hear it? "Go, therefore, into all nations, baptizing them in my name." So they were to carry on the ministry, and they needed to be assured that Jesus was with them. Right then, next week, when they couldn't see him, next month, a year from now. And that promise is the same for you and for me. Jesus is with us right now, next week, next month, a year from now. What would it have been like for the disciples and for us if he hadn't made that promise? What if he had just spent those 3 years doing amazing things and people began to talk about him and spread the news of his work? He would have been famous like Mahatma Gandhi or Mother Teresa. And then he would have been gone. What if that promise to stay with us had not come? We wouldn't be able to pray to him. We wouldn't be able to have guidance from the Holy Spirit. We might not even be here worshiping together. But he gave us that promise, "I will be with you always." Do you believe that? That was fast. Good. Well, then I can just quit preaching and sit down. Because that's the whole point of the sermon. Yeah. Do you believe that Jesus is with you when you're standing at the kitchen sink at the end of a long day washing dishes? That Jesus is sitting with you at the meeting with the other managers or the CEOs? Or Jesus is with you for all you retired folks out on the golf course? Or Jesus is with you when you telephone your grandkids and say, I love you? Jesus is with us always. Now, babies before the age of 8 months don't have any short-term memory. So if you take a toy away from a baby and it disappears and they can't see it, they think it doesn't exist. If mom and dad walk into the room next door and they can't see them anymore, they think they're gone forever. And so what develops is this separation anxiety. Well, God in God's goodness didn't allow us to have separation anxiety, because the triune God, God the Father who creates every single day. Yesterday it was hot. Today, this morning it was windy. We have beautiful flowers God creates. God is with us, God the Father. God the Son is with us. I am with you always. God the Holy Spirit talks in our ears, whispering to us, comforting us, giving us direction. We don't have separation anxiety because God, the triune God, is still with us always. We've watched as a congregation the movie When God Left the Building a couple times. Some of you may have seen it. And in that movie, there is a policeman who talks about what it feels like for him to have God riding in the patrol car every single night. He says, before I go out on patrol, I say a prayer. I say a prayer and I say, Lord, if this should happen to be the night when one of us needs to get hurt, let it be me, God. Let it be me, because I don't know if my other brothers and sisters who are on patrol tonight, I don't know if they know you like I know you, but I know that you are with me, and I know that I'm safe with you no matter what happens. So Lord, heaven forbid, if this be the night that someone gets hurt, let it be me. How does that happen? How do we trust that God is with us all the time? That Jesus is riding in the patrol car, that Jesus is sitting next to us when we eat dinner by ourselves, that Jesus is with us when we're laughing or crying. How does that happen? Well, we know it happens through the Word, through the tangible elements of Holy Communion. God is with us. We know that it happens when we practice being in God's presence. I want you to do something for me. Would you take a big breath? Take a deep breath. Yeah, good. Let it go. Do you know that the average person breathes 16 times every minute, 916 times every hour? We breathe about 23,000 breaths every day. That's a lot of breathing. We know that God is spirit. God gave us our very breath of life. Each breath that we take has God within it. And so one way to practice being in God's presence, in Jesus' presence, is to breathe. And I do this often before I enter a hospital room or go into a meeting or make a phone call. I just take a breath and I say, Jesus, and then I ask for whatever I need. Help me to have the right words for this person. Give me courage as I enter a challenging conversation. Hold me, protect me. Why don't you try that right now on your own? Just take a breath in and say, Jesus. Then ask for whatever it is that you need today. Do it again. Jesus. And breathe. That's right. Jesus is as close as our very breath. I was watching a father and daughter play at the swimming pool one afternoon. This little wee one was trying to practice jumping off the side of the pool into the water. And she was kind of scared, and Dad was down below in the water, and he had his hands up, and he was saying things like, I promise, I'm here, I'm going to catch you, it's okay, come on, you can do it. And she'd look at the water, and then she'd back up, and then she'd go again. Because it takes a lot of trust and faith, right, to catapult your body into thin air if you're not sure that someone's going to be there. So finally she took a big breath, she plugged her nose, and she jumped in. And Dad's hands caught her, and when she came up from the water, there was this huge Cheshire grin on her face, and she said, I did it! She did. And she also realized that Dad's words matched his actions. He was there to catch her. Jesus is there to catch us. Jesus is waiting on the side of the pool for us to jump, to breathe into his presence. So here's my question. If we really trust and believe that Jesus is with us always, no matter what, in the morning when we rise, in the night when we sleep, if Jesus is right here next to us, what would you do, what would you dare to dream, knowing that Jesus is with you and you could accomplish a lot? Would you take a dream off a dusty shelf and wipe it clean and see if it still has potential? Would you call an old friend and offer an apology that is long overdue? Would you try and pray with your spouse every night? What would you do? If you trusted and believed, and you all said, yes, I do, and I do as well, what would you do if you really trusted that Jesus was by your side? Can you think of something? I know that I can. I am with you always, to the end of the age, and the one who said this, fed thousands, performed miracles, that promise is sure and true. And we can do all things with God. There's nothing we can't do together. He's standing there waiting. Just breathe and jump. Amen.